Katrina, well, thank you very much for all of your answers, and thank you to the listeners for their questions. Now, of course, Diana O'Carroll always handles a very tricky question, and she's with us now for our question of the week.
This week, what's the point of all these multiple organs?
Hi, I'm Rebecca Ferris. I live in Norwich, and I was just wondering, why is it that we have two of some organs, like we have two eyes and two kidneys, when we could probably make do with just one, but we only have one of some other organs? So if we're going to have a spare kidney, why don't we have a spare liver? And could it change as we evolve? If we don't really need these things, could we lose them, or could we get an extra one of some other organs? Thank you.
And here's the evolutionary point of view.
I'm Dr. Sebastian Schimmeld in the Department of Zoology at the University of Oxford. Now, that's a really interesting question, and it's really got two answers, one of which is how we develop in the womb. But there's also an evolutionary explanation to this, which is how we got to be in this situation in the first place. It's not just us that are bilaterally symmetrical. All vertebrates are, be they birds, reptiles, frogs, or fish. And in fact, not just vertebrates, but almost all other animals are bilaterally symmetrical as well. This includes worms and flies. And this is because bilateral symmetry evolved a very long time ago, at least 500 or 600 million years ago. And really, our body plan has been locked into bilateral symmetry since that point. And this brings me on to the last part of the question, which is, could it change? And I think really that given that we've been locked into this body plan for such a long period of time, I think it's unlikely that it's going to change. But I wouldn't say completely impossible, because there are one or two animals which have managed to change this. And a really good example of this is the octopus, which not only has a major heart, but has managed to evolve two ancillary hearts as well to help its blood flow. So unlikely to change, I think, but perhaps not completely impossible given enough time and the right selection.
And the developmental point of view from Dr. Robert Whittaker at Cambridge University.
The obvious first reaction of many people would be to suggest that multiple identical organs are simply there for spare parts, but I do not believe that this is the correct explanation. I'd like to look at the conundrum from a developmental point of view. The early embryo has an outer layer, a single midline tube passing from mouth to anus to become the gut. From this single and simple midline tube is developed the intestines, but many other organs develop from it by a system of budding from the tube. Such organs include the lungs, the liver, the pancreas, and whether these become a single organ or two organs depends on whether the bud that grows from the tube stays as a single bud or divides to give more than one. The liver, for instance, is a single organ, whereas the lung come from two buds to give the organs that we see in the developed child. So what about the kidneys, I hear you ask? Well, they develop not as a single tube as with the gut, but on either side of the body quite separately. There's a fundamental difference between there being two parts to a single organ, and examples as we've given are the lungs and the brain, which all develop from a single outgrowth, as opposed to two separate organs with identical functions, such as the kidneys, the ovaries, the testicles, which all develop on separate sides of the body.
So it's a combination of midline symmetry inherited from our fishy ancestors. It's a result of our developmental processes as budding embryos, and as with many things, it's like that because it works. And in some cases, it's always good to carry a spare. Next week, is it an innie or an outie?
My name is Nikki Goodwin, and I live in South Africa. I recently took a photograph of my footprints in the sand, and it was only after that I noted that the footprints are not actually in the sand, they appear to be raised on the sand. How could this be?
Why do depressions sometimes appear as expressions? Answers to Chris at thenakedscientists.com or write on the forum, and that's at thenakedscientists.com/forum. You can Facebook us or Twitter at Naked Scientists.
Diana O'Carroll with our question of the week. But why would footprints in sand appear raised? Was it just an optical illusion, or was something going on to really lift those prints out of the surrounding sand? If you know, then get in touch. But that's all we have time for this week. Thanks to Jim Usherwood, Carol Ratcliffe, Mike Bailey and John Wood, to our production team of Mira Senthilingam and Diana O'Carroll, and to our special guest presenters, Katrina Stewart and Will Hamilton. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at The Naked Scientists, you can contact us through Twitter by tweeting at Naked Scientists, write on our wall at thenakedscientists.com/Facebook, or email Chris at thenakedscientists.com.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the Natural Environment Research Council, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at thenakedscientists.com.